Hi, this is Catherine. Welcome back. Welcome to Audio 3 of our Unbreakable Bond series, where we explore healthy habit number 2, generating authentic connection with others. And I'd like to invite you to begin today by putting everything to one side and joining me in an opening centering. So if you're in a place where it's safe for you to do so, I invite you to close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as though you could breathe all the way down into your hips. And just moving into a place of deep listening and receptivity, as if you could open your inner eyes and listen with your inner ears. I invite you to become aware of all of the feelings and sensations in your body. And just notice where you might be holding any tension. And as you find it, just letting it go. And with each breath, just allowing yourself to move into a deeper state of receptivity and surrender. Recognizing that your participation here in this series is like a prayer. In and of itself is an invitation to life to begin to grow you in the direction of greater health and security and happiness, so that you might better learn how to get your needs met in relationship, so that your fundamental orientation to close connection is one of comfort, one of well-being, and one of deep happiness. And recognizing that life is indeed answering this prayer by offering this opportunity to engage in these practices together. And so just softening into a state of receptivity, recognizing that life is up to something good in your life. And you can trust this awakening. And so we come into this conversation today with open eyes, open ears, open hearts, open minds, ready and willing to evolve so that we might have an extraordinary breakthrough in our capacity to love and be loved. And so it is, and so it shall be. Welcome back. So we're beginning to have this freedom that's waking up inside of seeing our own beliefs clearly and noticing what starts to happen when we shift that perspective. And what becomes possible, actually, is this healthy habit number 2, generating authentic connections with others, particularly in the face of disconnection, in response to being disappointed, in response to being hurt, in response to being misunderstood or let down or feeling a little rejected. Rather than withdraw, rather than automatically moving to protect themselves, those with secure attachment will do what? They will reach out instead. So in the face of disconnection, those with healthy, secure attachment will move to generate closeness and connection. They have a habit of creating connection when connection is missing, as opposed to doing what those of us with insecure attachment or avoidant attachment might do, which is withdraw from and defend against the need for connection. So those with secure attachment actually put relationship enhancement above self-protection in those moments where they're disappointed. Now that's no small matter. That's like standing at a crossroads. You put your energy towards relationship enhancement in the face of disappointment. You're going to get a very different outcome than if you put your energy into protecting yourself in response to a disappointment. And for those of us who have the habit of putting our energies into self-protective activities, we disappear after we've been hurt. We withdraw our love in response to a rejection or a disappointment. This is really important information. This is one of those moments that's like a linchpin moment. You know what a linchpin is? A linchpin is the part of the ship that is down by the rudder. It's this tiny, tiny little thing, but if you just turn it in a particular direction, it will move the entire ship a little to the left, a little to the right, which means it's going to wind up in a different land. So this is a linchpin moment. And the choice to respond in this way, for those of us who have habits around insecure or avoidant attachment, is going to almost feel counterinstinctive, right? It's going to create a very different experience, even in the moment. And I want us to understand, though, the significance of our willingness to show up in this new way. Because many of us who are kind of inside deep aloneness patterns, for instance, or even deep struggle patterns, because by the way, everything good in our lives happens via the gateway of our relationships with others. Our dreams cannot come true in isolation. We cannot actualize our potentials in life in isolation. So it's no small matter to be inside of deep patterns of aloneness. So, and also the inner experience, of course, of suffering from a great amount of loneliness or kind of a low-grade, I call it a low-grade fever of depression or sorrow, because if you really can't get your needs met from others and you're walking around inside of this aloneness, I'm alone, other people always leave, I can never really get my needs met, you will feel depressed as kind of like a life condition, right? So those of us who are walking around inside of this, we somehow feel that life is against us finding love, or that somehow we're kind of on the outside, it's our destiny to be alone, we're somehow left out of the human race. And to actually get to understand, like, wow, it really comes down to this linchpin moment, this moment of choice. Am I going to protect myself, or am I going to lean in and generate connection? And to begin to see our aloneness in life is really the result of the habit of self-protection, of withdrawing, of taking yourself out of the conversation when other people have not treated you in the way that you want to be treated, or would then have made a mistake with you. So how you respond in that moment is critical. And those who have secure attachments have the ability to respond to any kind of disruption or misattunement, someone else's insensitive behavior, in a way that generates connection, and to deal with that upset without breaking the fundamental bond that they have with that person. So the reality is about all relationships, even great relationships, is that relationships of all sorts are in a continual flux that moves between attunement, misattunement, and reattunement. I think sometimes those of us who have trouble in relationships have a fantasy that when I find love, that person will always get me, will never disappoint me. That's not true. And in fact, studies show that even the best of relationships have these areas of incompatibilities. I think the Gottman Research Center says that there's 7 areas, usually in any given great relationship, of complete incompatibilities that people kind of live with and struggle with, and where they get off the same page and then on the same page. So those who have secure attachment style are actually less reactive in general and more resilient in the face of the kind of misattunements and disappointments and setbacks and obstacles that tend to come up as the natural course of any relationship. And they don't take things so personally. They understand the times of misattunement happen. And, you know, now that you're evolving your core beliefs and lining up with these positive assumptions about how others value you, how others like you, how others want you, how others are a source of comfort and joy, you can actually do this much better. You can actually just remember that the human condition forces us to have to continually repair the ruptures in our connections. So we might actually, you know, relate to the disappointments that we're experiencing from other people more as the limitations of where those people are in their development at this point in time without catastrophizing these limitations. So we might begin to assume that our connection with these people are valuable in spite of these limitations. We might begin to adjust our expectations of who the other person is, right? We might have to lower those expectations to be more in alignment with what the other person is capable of or committed to. And that might even mean that we shift our investment in the connection, that we see that we've been overly invested in the connection some way. So we might even change the agreements of the relationship so that they're healthier agreements. But we're not going to necessarily discard people because we're not getting what we want. And that's a really deep statement for a lot of us. I know that, you know, many of us have been studying relationships and how to navigate conflicts with other people. And a lot of us have heard about I statements. You know, that when you're upset with someone, rather than kind of rip into an assessment of their character, like, oh my gosh, you're so selfish, you know, you learn to take a moment, to take a breath, and then you share what you're feeling in response to what just happened or what's going on. And the value of taking a moment to shift out of that kind of reactive response and into a more thoughtful one where you're going to share about your own inner experience is that you're slowing down reactivity and you're slowing down defensiveness. You're slowing down that self-protective process. And then you're giving the other person an opportunity to see the impact of their choices and their actions, which they might have been completely unaware of. So by doing this, you're actually inviting that person to move towards you and to grow and deepen in their understanding of who you are and what makes you tick and your own sensitivities and your own vulnerabilities. And it also gives the other person the opportunity to repair the injury. There's a wonderful book called Love Sense that Dr. Sue Johnson has written, and she talks a lot about and also she's written another one called Hold Me Tight, and they're two wonderful books. She's really one of the leaders I've been talking about in developing attachment theory and how we can use attachment theory to actually enhance our relational experience of love. And she talks a lot about this cycle of attunement and misattunement and reattunement and calls these conversations that allow for reattunement and repair after a hurt or misunderstanding, Hold Me Tight conversations. Right? That's the name of her latest book, Hold Me Tight. And really encourages us to express our softer spots, to actually be vulnerable in the face of those moments, so that we might invite another person to come towards us rather than push them away with our defensiveness and our accusations, right? And those are the moments that actually inform how the relationship can grow and what's going to be possible in the future in that relationship. And this is really for any stage of a relationship. even in the getting to know you stage, you know, in the dating stage, when you're just first, you know, looking to form a secure attachment with someone, and something happens and there's a misattunement, and if you're able to express it or bring it up in a soft way without going into a reactive accusation or a defensive stance or character assassination, the worst of all, you know, you want to see, how does the other person respond? And that's going to let you know if the other person is even someone who's capable of forming a secure attachment. So this has to be part of dating research. I know a lot of people in the beginning of dating, they stuff a lot of feelings, they don't engage things because they don't want to be thought of as high maintenance, right? You don't want to push the other person away. But the truth is that it actually kind of sets the ground rules for healthy relatedness. If something happens and, you know, someone's always chronically showing up 20 minutes late, how do you engage that? Well, it's going to help you to engage it and bring it forward, because it's going to inform you who to build a bond with. So rather than just, you know, blowing that person off, you know, bring it up. See how they respond. See if they lean in to try and accommodate your feelings. So it's important to not be afraid of moments of misattunement or to make them mean something in and of themselves, that somehow this isn't a viable connection. Because really what's going to show you whether it's a viable connection or not has to do with the moments of attunement and reattunement and repair. Because that's where longevity lives in a relationship. And when you have secure attachment, you find a way to be less reactive, to take things less personally, to adjust your expectations of others, to notice your own tendencies, to turn everything into a big catastrophe, you know, and to step back and remember in those moments the things you like about the relationship, the kind of money that's already been put into the emotional bank account of building a bond, the strength of the connection. You don't underestimate how much the other person might actually care for you. You assume that the connection is valuable to you both, in spite of the limitations that might be occurring right now. Right? So learning these kinds of fine-tuning things, like, the need to adjust your expectations to what you're discovering about this person, or the need to monitor the investment of your energy to make sure that it stays healthy and that you're not overly investing and someone's underly investing, or even to notice that you might need to shift your expectations or agreements, you know. But these are all ways to protect a growing relationship. So we're not quick to discard, and we're not quick to put up a wall simply because we're not getting what we want in that moment. We all know how quickly that wall can come up. Somebody disappoints you and there's the wall. Somebody shows you something that makes you question their character and there's the wall. You know, the automatic wall is the habit of those who have insecure and avoidant attachment, you know, just discarding people pretty quickly. But I think people who have more secure attachment, rather than doing that, and I'm not talking about overly investing or if somebody's showing you bad character to keep turning the other way, but engage it, ask questions about it, express your feelings and needs in a way that would generate cohesion and give the other person an opportunity, right? So secure attachment really is less reactive, maybe a bit more curious, but there's like a leaning in, an attempt to reattune, right? An attempt to adjust. Because we have to remember, sometimes I think that those of us who have insecure, avoidant attachment styles and have long periods maybe without a secure relationship, we have unhealthy expectations about what a relationship is, and we think that a relationship is kind of appears in full form. And, you know, of course, you know, things are always half-truths. You know, there's some portion of truth to it, that there are certain affinities and worldviews that sync better with ours, that we kind of just get each other. And, of course, we want to wait until the relationships we're investing in have that fundamental attunement, right? But we also want to remember that relationships just don't appear full-blown, that relationships grow, that they evolve over time, and how they grow and how they deepen is through this process of reattunement and repair. So let's do an exercise now to help you discover your own habits of what you do when there's a disappointment or hurt between yourself and another person. And I want to invite you to have pen and paper handy so that you can write down your reflections as we go through. And again, if you're in a place where it's safe for you to do so, I just invite you to close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as though you could breathe all the way down into your hips. And I invite you to think of someone who has hurt you, someone who has disappointed you. Maybe you feel deeply insulted. Maybe this person has failed you in some really fundamental way. And this disappointment might actually be living as kind of a festering resentment that you've been struggling with. And I just want you to notice and just name for yourself that thing that happened, that they did or they didn't do, that actually disappointed you or upset you. And notice how you navigated that misattunement, that disappointment. What did you do in response? Did you pull away, distance yourself, withdraw your love, withdraw your participation? What attempts did you make for reattunement and repair? What ways did you try to generate connection in the face of disconnection? And just noticing if your attempts were accepted or if they were rejected. And if they were rejected, just noticing what you did with that. Did you shut down your heart? Did you make them wrong and start to gossip about them and harm their reputation? Did you start devaluing the connection within yourself? Did you react with anger? Did you attack? Or did you adjust and let your heart feel sad, but stayed open to the possibility that things could change between you? Do you energetically still send this person love? Do you bless this person, or do you curse this person? And just allowing yourself to wonder, given this conversation, how you might begin to move towards this person in a way that will allow for the possibility of reattunement between you. Maybe you can call and share your feelings, make a request of them, engage in inquiry. Or perhaps you can simply do an internal process where you look to take personal responsibility for what happened and make a conscious decision that you're going to forgive the transgression and take an action that creates closeness again. Or if moving towards this person is not appropriate in this moment, perhaps even a prayer for this person's happiness will help to soften your own heart. So just inviting you right now to open your eyes and write down any ideas you have about how you could generate reattunement and connection in the aftermath of this disappointment. Just taking a moment to write it down. I've been a long-time student of a phenomenon called non-locality, and that has to do with our ability to connect with people even when we're not physically in the same environment. And so I advocate very often for what I call soul-to-soul meditations. So I'm going to allow you to have an opportunity to experience this for yourself. And if you would like to have a conversation without actually picking up the phone, like a practice conversation with this person, I just want to invite you to engage it with me. And you can begin by closing your eyes and taking a nice deep breath again. And just imagine that this person is sitting before you. You can make sure you have some distance if you've had a particularly difficult time with them, so putting them 4 feet out or 6 feet out, and recognizing that you are in control of how close or how distant they are. And just imagine this person sitting in front of you and looking into his or her eyes. And whatever it is that you wrote down about how you might reattune, I just want you to imagine in your mind's eye saying this or doing this in this moment as though it were really happening now. And imagining the other person being receptive and open. And hearing you. And even if it's hard to imagine this person really receiving you, I want you to just notice what happens to your own heart when you're willing to be generous in this way. That you would actually generate connection in the face of your disappointment. Because really it's about keeping your heart open and soft and learning how to not sever people out when they disappoint us. And sometimes repair that happens in a soul-to-soul meditation is actually received by the other person and can begin to shift the stuckness you might feel. So when you're ready, just inviting you back into the room, open your eyes. You can always go back and have a deeper conversation with this person at any time that you choose, where you're able to really engage the process of repair and reattunement in the face of this misattunement and disappointment. So it's good to practice keeping a softer heart, just remembering that those who have a secure attachment style are faster to forgive the failings of others. They have more space for people to be imperfect. It does not mean that they do not feel disappointed or even irritated and annoyed. They may very well feel that way. But they don't quickly cut off relationships because of it. And I'm inviting you to really take this to heart by looking at the people that you might have severed out of your heart or withdrawn your love from, and rethinking how you show up in response to a disappointment, trusting yourself more, trusting your own resilience, your own capacity to recover, your own maturity, your own development. You know, there's always a good reason to rethink the decision of severing people out of your life simply because they did not please you. And of course, if somebody did something that's truly sociopathic, they stole money from you, they threw you under the bus in some ways, then it might be necessary to put up the boundary of no longer engaging with them. But even then, to try and send them love, to pray for them, to wish them well, just not in your life anymore. And other than that, I think that we want to try and create space for the imperfections of others and to not throw the baby out with the bathwater by devaluing a relationship or discarding it because we feel disappointed by someone. And you want to learn how to be able to stretch your capacity to hold the complexity of human beings so that you can hold what's good about people, the many ways that they have shown up for you, the many ways that they have loved you, and also that sometimes they've behaved in ways that are confusing and hurtful and selfish, and that's all one person has done that to you. Now remember, the purpose of this exercise is that you're learning to emulate the patterns and the habits of those people who have organic, secure attachment styles. And those people are great at generating connections in the aftermath of a disappointment, a disagreement, or even when they're disillusioned with someone. So I want to invite you to take this on as your practice. And I look forward to guiding you through the next audio, where we are going to explore our healthy habit number 3, that those with a secure attachment style have a highly developed capacity for empathy.